Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Who is to be baptized? And particularly, I want to look at this question of infant baptism. What does the Bible say about that? Can we find infant baptism in the New Testament? Is that the baptism in the New Testament? Well, let's go to our text. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And then verses 5 and 6 and verse 11. Is this infant baptism? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And John said, verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Was that infant baptism? What, were little infants supposed to repent? Of what would they repent? Were the little infants carried to John to be baptized? Were they confessing their sins? It doesn't match up with what's practiced with infant baptism, does it? Not the account of John's baptism. Mark 1, verses 4 and 5. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. What was the little infant to have their sins remitted? What sins? And this gets into another topic that I'm going to discuss later about there are those that believe that people inherit sin. And baptizing an infant would forgive them of sin that they never committed, but that their parents or Adam committed or something. Well, we'll study that later. But the little infant itself had not sinned. There went out to him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, these little infants didn't learn to talk real fast so they could be baptized. It wasn't for infants. Luke chapter 3. And verse 3, and verses 7 and 8. And he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits of repentance." Look at this. Was John's baptism for infants? It's a baptism of repentance. They came confessing their sins. It was for the remission of sins. And he called them a generation of vipers. Was he calling all these little babes and the mothers or their grandmothers? Was he saying, "You're a generation of vipers"? And telling these little infants to flee from the wrath to come? And to tell them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance? Of course not. Infant baptism, you can't fit that puzzle piece into this scene here. Infant baptism is not what John was doing. Well, Jesus was not an infant when he was baptized. And we know that, but look what it says explicitly. Luke 3, verses 21 through 23. Now all the people were baptized. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased." And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So Jesus was not baptized as an infant. He was a young man, entering into a full manhood of our own time of faith, about 30 years of age when he was baptized. Jesus did not teach that infants were to be baptized. Look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Now, note this, where it says teach all nations. That is how those words are translated by the translators that gave us the King James Version. But a more perfect translation would be "make disciples of all nations." and you make disciples of them by baptizing them. And so the argument is, well, you will baptize them and make them a disciple and then teach them. And that's what we do. We baptize infants and then later we teach them. But that's not all Jesus said about this. And to deal with the Scriptures correctly and honestly, you take everything the Bible says about a subject and you put it together. And Jesus also said in Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's not infants. Infants have no idea what's going on. Someone has to be able to have faith and believe for them to be baptized of the kind of baptism that Jesus is talking about. Let's look. Were infants baptized on Pentecost? Well, what does the Bible say? Now, when they heard this, did you see they heard this? And they were pricked in their hearts. They not only heard the sound, they understood what was being said, and it got to their conscience. They were pricked in their hearts, and said Peter, and said unto Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the correct construction of that, when you understand the Greek grammar on this and how this works, the reason it's phrased just that way, what Peter is saying is this: repent, and every one of you that repent be baptized. So it's not just everyone, it's all those that repent are to be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ, and again, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it didn't say everyone was baptized. It says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. That's those that heard. And so you hear, and you gladly receive that word, and you repent. And then you're a proper subject for baptism. And that is not something that an infant can do. Look again. Were infant Samaritans baptized? Well, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It doesn't say men, women, and children. It doesn't say men, women, and babies or infants. And it says when they believed. And so again, faith is necessary, is a prerequisite for someone to be baptized. What about the infant Ethiopian? And we know the Ethiopian was not an infant. He was a treasurer in the king's of the queen of Ethiopia. But notice what it says here. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And so you see then how faith is a prerequisite. The kind of baptism that John did and that Jesus commanded and that the apostles practiced and that Philip was practicing was a baptism that required faith first. And so infants were not subjects. They were not the ones to be baptized of that baptism. Well, were there infants in the household of Cornelius? It says that Cornelius and all his house were baptized. It said he feared God with all his house. And they were all present before God to hear him. And then they were commanded to be baptized. If all his house were baptized and there were any infants in that house, then they were baptized, weren't they? Okay, look what it says. It says they feared God with all his house. These are the mature people in his house. If there were infants in his house, they wouldn't be included in those that feared God with all his house. And the Bible never says there were infants in the household of Cornelius. Now it says they're all present before God to hear. Again, that involves a certain manner of development of the mind to be able to listen to the things that are being said. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Those little infants were not speaking in tongues and magnifying God when the Holy Spirit fell on the house of Cornelius. If there were any infants there, they were not part of this. And Peter said, can any man forbid water that these... Now, who's these? with those that had received the Holy Spirit and were speaking in languages that they had not studied and were glorifying God. If these should not be baptized, which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we, and He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, what about Lydia? Were they infants? Well, before we leave Cornelius, in Acts chapter 15, Paul talks about this again, or Peter does. He was there. And Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Now you see the pattern here? There's prerequisites to baptism. And faith, hearing the gospel and believing the gospel, is along those prerequisites. Let's look at this. What about the infants in Lydia's household? "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, hearing us, whom heart the Lord opened, she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, 'If you judge me faithful to the Lord, come into my house.'" You know, the Bible never says there were infants in Lydia's household. And someone says, "Well, it's possible that they were there." And if it's possible they were there, it's possible they weren't. Lydia was a businesswoman, a seller of purple, away from home. Her home was Thyatira. And you'd have to assume there were infants there to say the infants were baptized. But notice what it says about Lydia while she was baptized. She fits the pattern. She heard them, and her heart was opened. And she attended unto the things that were said. Now that fits the pattern of the other baptisms. And you just have to assume infants. If it's possible they were there, it's possible they weren't. And the passage fails to show infant baptism. What about infants in the household of the jailer? "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." Okay, everyone in his house now. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Well, that includes his little infants, wouldn't it? But were there any infants there? It never says they were there. But notice what it does say. "And when he had brought them into this house and set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Whoever was in the household of that jailer was believing in God. And they were the ones that were baptized. And again, there's no mention of infants here. Here's the pattern. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. "Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Now that's adults. Thomas Campbell said, "If infant baptism be not found in Scripture, we can have nothing to do with it." And then he struggled with that. And he was a very calm, peace-loving man, but he almost lost his temper over that. His people would challenge him, "How can you do that when there's no authority for God?" And he would come back and actually call people some names about that. But he kept studying. And he dropped it. It illustrates this whole principle of the silence of the Scriptures, doesn't it? Like the old fellow said, he wasn't a scholar, but he had a lot of good sense. Something comes up and said, "Why don't we do this?" And his answer, "Well, there ain't no Scripture for it." And when the Bible doesn't say a thing, you can't just automatically assume that we can do that. The Bible never does say, "Do not baptize infants," does it? But it lacks any authority to do so. It's a human invention to do so. And not something that comes from God. You can apply this to other things. And particularly like the reason we don't use instruments in our worship. There's no Bible authority for that in the worship of the church. And all we can go with a lot of other things that people don't find in the churches of Christ. Why aren't they there? It's the silence of the Scriptures. And if the Scriptures don't say anything about it, then we can have nothing to do with it. Here's Bible baptism. Look at the pattern. They heard. And hearing, they believed. And they repented of their sins. And they confessed. John talks about them confessing their sins. Now, under the baptism of Christ, they confess their faith. And then they're baptized and then bring forth fruits meet for repentance. That's a reformed life. A new life that you live coming up out of baptism. And so now that's the Bible way to do it. And so what picture was correct there? Well, it's the immersion of the believer and not the sprinkling of the infant that constitutes Bible baptism. And that might be hard for some folks to overcome. Well, we understand that. It's hard for people to give up things. They've always been taught one certain way. But the Bible's right about it. And you need to search the Scriptures to see what the Bible says. We want to teach baptism the way the Lord teaches baptism. We're going to baptize adults. We're going to do it by immersing them in water. We're going to do it based on a confession of their faith. And we're going to do it for the remission of their sins. And then we expect a new life.